Do you speak a second language? Did you find it hard to learn? How long did it take you to get fluent? And have you ever learnt an Asian language? Did you find that more difficult? Here's the goal that Australia currently has. The aim is to get young Australians Asia literate by 2025. And as part of that, the government's spending $15 million on projects aimed at getting more students studying Asian languages. So that includes training teachers, promoting five key languages: Chinese, Indonesian, Japanese, Hindi, and Korean. So that's the money. But if I could tell you that there's very little hope that many students will end up fluent by the end of school, would you say it was a waste of time? Joining me now is Professor Yong Zhao. He's a Presidential Chair and Associate Dean for Global Education at the University of Oregon in the US, author of World Class Learners, Educating Creative and Entrepreneurial Students. And he's been good enough to join us now while he's in the country. Professor Zhao, thank you so much for joining us. Do you think we should be aiming to get students fluent in these Asian languages?
Well, you know, if you can, but I don't think it's going to be very possible unless you devote a lot of time in schools. Now we are, if you give only like an hour a day, that's going to take a long time. Most likely you won't get them to be truly like near native fluent.
How fluent can you get them?
Well, it depends how you teach it and depends how much time you spend outside. You probably can get some of the basic functional, you know, linguistic competencies to do that. You can go order some food, do some travel. You won't get lost in a train station. You won't get that level. But if you spend some extra time, if you do some more immersion at starting at the kindergarten or first grade, you might, tune it to be really good fluent after a while.
Okay, but given that few people are going to have that experience and that a lot of people, once they get to the end of year 12, may not choose courses where they have an option to continue studying language, is it a bit of a waste of time?
No, I don't think so. Actually, I think, well, the reason we're learning a second language, a foreign language, is really about understanding the culture. It's like learning math, you know. Not everyone becomes a mathematician. I think it's really serve as a foundation. But more importantly, in the area of Asia literacy, I think all the languages provide a great opportunity and a window into other people's culture.
Well, this might be difficult to explain to someone like me who doesn't speak an Asian language, or at least not very well at all, but can you give us an example to illustrate that, about how learning something within an Asian language could give us an insight into the way the people in the region think?
Well, a good example, I'm a native Chinese speaker, you know, I now speak English, so there are so many words that you will not actually be able to translate unless you completely understand it natively. For example, I think in Chinese, in terms of education, we have one phrase called guan hai zi. You will never be able to understand that because guan, it means manage children, but it's not more than managing, so it means caring as well. So as a way, when you study those things, you'll understand that. Another thing is like siblings in Chinese, I think, possibly in Japanese, there's so many ways to refer to your older sister, your younger sister. There are specific words actually describing your mother's brother as a different kind of uncle. It actually is, she's a sign of social relationships. You know, it's important to distinguish the age, whether it's mother's side, father's side. So those words actually mean something. It's a vehicle of culture.
So I suppose then you come better to understand the way that Chinese families relate to each other and what's more important to them, or what is important enough for them to want to describe, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, I mean, another example is like if you go, you know, in English, we always talk about first name and last name, you know, Christian name. But in Chinese, actually, our first name, you know, comes first is our family name. That's very simple. Mm. So if we always start with a big family. That in the middle, you have a generation name. You know, so it's which big family, which generation. And last one is a given name. So it's very interesting to understand those cases.
What about the languages that Australia's chosen to focus on? Chinese, Indonesian, Japanese, Hindi, Korean. Well, I suppose you have to choose some, but do you think they're good choices?
Well, man, ideally, I would let the student choose, but you have to choose. I think those are good choices. It's it's basically making a bet. That bet, you know, there are different reasons for choosing languages. One would be economical reasons, who are you most likely to encounter? So you pick the large population, large economy, and most likely emerging economy. You could pick it for educational reasons. You can choose for, you know, heritage reasons.
You say, though, that Australia isn't making the best use of its migrant communities in improving Asian literacy. What do you mean by that?
We have a lot of migrant children who are really great language assets, And also cultural assets as well. When we try to send our children, you know, to study abroad, but we just not ignore these immigrant children or families and communities can serve as language mentors. And they could be writing textbooks or sharing ideas. We engage them in the school to operate language clubs and, you know, give them a sense of pride of their own language.
The executive producer of this show speaks Taiwanese and Mandarin. So she's well ahead of the rest of us on this. What's interesting, though, is that whenever we've got a guest who has a Chinese name, she tries to teach me how to pronounce it, and I can never get anywhere near it, frankly. And I try, and I've generally got a pretty good ear. Like, I can do it with other languages, but I just think there's something about the names, the language, the pronunciation, I will never be able to get near. Now, you'd know better than me, but is there something in the Australian accent that just makes learning Asian languages uniquely difficult?
Oh, no. I think, hey, mate, you know, that's a very good, you know, I love your accent. It's great. I think it has to do, there are certain things we call the critical age, you know, that after certain times, we lose flexibility or plasticity to reformulate different sounds. But with practice, you can still get there. I don't think you will ever, if you study a foreign language in kind of adulthood, I don't think you will ever get to be as sound as a native speaker. But that doesn't matter. You know, everybody in Chinese speaks that with accents. You know, have so many different dialects.
I'm obviously going to have to find the province in China full of all the Oka Chinese.
Shandong province. Maybe there will sound more like in Australians.
Oh, really? Sorry, which province was that?
I'm just joking. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I had a ticket ready to go. I was getting excited. Oh, well, look, it's been great to speak to you, Professor. Thank you so much for speaking to us, and apologies for the fact that I'm about to butcher your name.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Just try any sound will be good.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's quite true, but I appreciate your indulgence. That's Professor Yong Zhao, Presidential Chair and Associate Dean for Global Education at the University of Oregon in the US, author of World Class Learners, Educating Creative and Entrepreneurial Students. This is RN Drive. We're here till 8 o'clock.